You're listening to Unraveling. This podcast brings together a collection of raw, authentic conversations about the messy truth of life. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and I have created Unraveling to explore both my own and others' inspiring journeys to reconnect back to themselves. Unraveling is an expression of both the highs and the lows of everyday life and covers a medley of topics inspired by my own adventures, from magical mysticism, mental health and menstruation, to self-expression, co-creation, and personal evolution through movement, meditation and intuitive practices that help us remember and reclaim our true essence. Thank you for tuning in and joining me on this beautiful process of unraveling. Now, let's head to the show. Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 18 of Unraveling. This week we are speaking to the amazing Laura Routh Parsons, who I had the pleasure of connecting with, I think probably about 18 months ago, and we've stayed in touch. Laura is a really beautiful soul, and we're so aligned in so many ways, as you'll soon hear through the conversation. I was really, really excited to talk to Laura about her journey to what she does now, which is a multitude of different things, a little bit like me. And it's funny because this conversation is really truly representative of how I, you know, just what I love about this podcast, because there was sort of an intention around the conversation, but it went on a completely different tangent to what we both expected and actually turned into a really beautiful and really honest and authentic conversation just about, you know, the sort of navigating our way through challenges and the real messy truths of healing and what that all means to both of us, really. So, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Laura in a second. I just want to just say that there are a few moments where you might hear some dog barking in the background because Pickle decided to make her voice heard, even though she was actually in a completely separate space of the house whilst I was recording. If you listen carefully, you might hear some dog barking. So that's the messy truth of podcasting. So before we go to the show, I'm just going to tell you a little bit more about Laura. So Laura is a yoga and meditation practitioner and teacher. She's a Reiki energy healer and a sound meditation practitioner. She works throughout Berkshire and Hampshire, and she shares and holds space for both groups and individuals, and really nurtures every single person to discover, surrender to, and honor their deepest truths in the mind, body, and soul. Laura works really intuitively through her own practices and allows them to evolve, grow, and shift as needed to respond to her own energy and the energy of those she works with and supports. I think you will agree that she is such a beautiful soul, and I'm sure you'll realize why I just had to have her on the show this week. If you have any questions, as always, please join us in the Unraveling Deeper Facebook group, which you can find the links to in the show notes. And yeah, without any further rambling from me, we'll head to the show now. Hi, Laura. How are you today? It's so good to have you on the Unraveling podcast.
Oh, I'm really well. Thank you for inviting me. I know it's taken us a little while to get here, but we're here in the end.
All in perfect timing, yeah. I have no doubt. So how are you feeling today? What are you unraveling today?
Oh gosh. It's been a strange week for me. I've done a few things that are sort of out of my comfort zone, but all really positive and good. I was on BBC Berkshire Radio on Wednesday, just completely randomly. Nothing work related at all. So I don't quite know why I was there, but it was really, really lovely just to sort of be in a different space, meet new energy, and then just experience something new, pushing my comfort zone a little bit. Yeah, and then just a really lovely working week of sharing space with people. I've done a 90-minute one-to-one with someone that I've been working with some time, this morning, just doing some Reiki and sound and things. So yeah, energy is quite high.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So what I would really love to know is, where are you at right now in your life, and what has been your journey to bring you here?
Oh, wow. What a question. gosh. Yeah, I guess sort of thinking about like my different practices that I hold for myself and that I share, it's just, I'm in a really quite content place with them at the moment. I feel like I've really found my rhythm with what's serving me most, and then also really found a lovely rhythm also for how I'm sharing with others. It has previously come into question for me exactly how, what I wanted all that to look like, but I've kind of given up the notion of trying to reach for something and just allowing it to happen. But before, like, I came to be where I am now, I've had such a wonderful experience of like exploring lots of different practices and a few different careers and things. I guess it all started for me when I was really young. I was quite poorly as a child with what they then discovered was Crohn's, and that was when I was about sort of 8, so really quite young. And I missed a lot of school, but what I was doing was I was going to like dance classes, as many children of that age do, and I just found it so therapeutic. I think the movement and listening to my body, being around music and all those kind of elements just really sort of struck a chord with me, and it's just something that's continued to stay with me, so much so that when I was sort of deciding what I wanted to do at school and things, I just didn't want to follow the route of doing really academic subjects. And I just followed the route of exploring the world of dance even more. And I sort of went on to do a degree in dance. And I specialised in somatic practices and choreography. So really a chance to, I guess, just explore movement and what it means for me and what it means for other people, and also how it can be quite therapeutic too for both the body and the mind. And I sort of stayed within those spaces for quite some time. I was really fortunate to work as a choreographer for 4 or 5 years, just with some local productions and groups, and also working in the fitness industry too. And then I kind of had a bit of a moment where I was like, as much as I was enjoying that and it felt really true for me, and I felt really good mentally and physically, I just started to question where I was like socially and what my life looked like compared to those around me. And I was at that age, it was in my early 20s, it must have been. Or mid-20s, and I was just kind of like questioning a lot of things. And I definitely, looking back on it now, I can see I got swept up within social expectations, you know, to be earning a certain amount of money, to having a certain kind of car, a certain kind of lifestyle with like social activities, all those kind of things. And I just knew that my then career wasn't going to fulfill those spaces or those intentions that I thought were what I needed. So I left the world of dance. I left the world of creativity and sort of being connected to my body and my mind. And I took a complete different direction and landed into events and marketing. And I sort of spent a couple of years retraining in marketing and worked for some quite big corporate brands, and then the most recent one was with a UK charity. And I spent some time there and I enjoyed it. I met some amazing people, but I just felt like something was really, really missing. I felt like there was no expression for me. I felt like I was just living in a world of trying to fulfill expectations that were driven by others. Expectations that were kind of set by society, set by, comparison, all of those things that just didn't feel right for me. And I kind of felt like I really needed to do something about it. And it just naturally started to evolve that I sort of came back to, you know, I've been sort of, without knowing it, probably meditating for quite some time to support my Crohn's and the pain and the anxiety that comes with having something like that within the body. And I just thought, oh, I'm going to just explore meditation a little bit more. So I went and did my meditation teacher training in London. And it just, something clicked. Something was like, oh, this is maybe a new direction for me. Let's explore it more. So I completed the training, and then I thought, I'm going to share this with some others. So I set up some evening classes around my 9 to 5. And it just, I just loved it. I fell in love with it. And it just happened so naturally. And it was quite easy for it. It just seemed to happen without sort of really forcing anything.
In flight.
And then this started to then open my mind up to, gosh, what am I doing? Why am I, you know, living life to try and fill these expectations of others? Being quite financially driven, which is not in my nature. And I just thought, I need to explore where I can go more with this more holistic, creative route. And I'd always practice yoga. It was a big part of like my dance training too. And then I just thought, oh, I'll just do my yoga teacher training. See what happens. No expectations, no pressures to necessarily become a teacher. But again, as I was doing it, and I purposely chose a course, I studied with Bristol City Yoga. So I purposely chose a course that was drawn out over, it was just over a year, I think, from memory. Because I just felt like you need to sit within the practices to really evolve and surrender to them yourself before you can then start sharing with others. Yeah, and then again, similar experience after I completed the meditation teacher training, it just naturally all started to luckily fall into place. And I started sharing classes as I was going through my training, which was kind of recommended for us to do, but sort of allowing them to be more of a way of learning more to get ready for like exams and things like that. And then after I completed that training, it was just, yeah, another moment of thinking, gosh, this is maybe where I need to be. This is where I feel most authentically me, where I just feel like, I don't know how to describe it. It's quite an inward feeling, I think, where it just feels really content and really true. And I was working at a charity at this time. And I just started to see this quite, I guess it was almost like a conflict between two lives, like working in a 9 to 5, very corporate, you know, a different dress code, almost a different voice, let alone like having a different hat on. And then that conflicting versus, you know, me being really natural, really soft, and all of those things that come within the practices that I shared at that time. And I just had a moment at the beginning of the year. It was 2 years ago. Wow,
time flies.
Where I was just like, Mike, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna take this leap. I'm gonna be brave. I'm gonna put my brave pants on and take the leap of faith. And I have to say, I'm extremely lucky that I've got a husband that supported that. And I was fully prepared for him to say, no, we've got a mortgage to pay. let's be realistic here. But we explored it, and we kind of said, you know, let's see what happens over the next 6 to 8 months of you trying to see where this goes and what it might look like, and how we fare. Because finally, you do have to be realistic. We live in a world where we do need to be earning money, unfortunately, so you have to still pay those bills. But we gave it a time scale of like 6 to 8 months, and then we came, and then I think those 6 to 8 months passed without us realizing, and we were just like, we didn't really notice any huge financial impact. Obviously it has massively changed, but I think because I've allowed myself to be in this truer place, I haven't got all those expectations of fulfilling certain social tick boxes. So, and I remember someone saying to me, you only spend what you have. And it's so true. Like, I honestly don't, like, I couldn't tell you the difference in my earnings because I'm not 100% sure even what they are, to be honest. I'm just doesn't faze me because we're just so content in our lifestyle. It hasn't sort of hit us. But I can fully appreciate that, you know, for some people that might be working 9 to 5 and have done their teacher training, who want to be fully immersive in sharing the practices, it's a huge barrier. Like, it's so unfortunate that, like, the financial aspect of life can really stop people living their truth.
Yeah, I agree. It's
yeah,
resistance, isn't it?
Uh-huh. So I just, you know, every day I'm so grateful that it's working out for me. Yeah, and then I was sort of settled into that, and I just took the first year of just exploring what felt right for me, what worked, what people liked me sharing. And then, and it kind of evolved that way. And then my own practices really started to evolve too. And I was going through some health challenges and really started to sort of think, gosh, how can I look after myself even more holistically? My body went through a stage of not really wanting to move much, which is really different for me. So that sort of took me some time to get my head round. But, and then I sort of came to Reiki and energy healing, and it just, again, was like another moment of, wow, this is something that feels so right. And actually when I started to explore Reiki and energy work more, it actually became quite clear to me that I'd been experiencing some quite profound shifts myself and with also other people, but had never really understood what was going on. So I found an incredible Reiki master and just went and sort of spent time with her one-on-one and did my Reiki one, and everything started, like all the questions I had about what I was experiencing personally or I was experiencing when working with others, Reiki almost gave me the answers, like both emotionally, physically, spiritually. Like, it was like Reiki was just giving me all the answers to this book of questions I had slowly been writing.
And how do you describe Reiki to your clients and to people? Because I know it's very individual, and I've done Reiki level 1 and 2 as well, but I don't use it sort of specifically. I do use it in certain ways, but like, how do you, for someone that's unfamiliar with energy work, how would you kind of describe the way you see it?
Yeah, and I think you're right. It's so individual. And I actually always say to people when I first work with them that each Reiki practitioner is different. Like, we all resonate with the teachings and the practices differently, and then we'll all share the experience differently. We'll all hold kind of space. So I always say to people, you've got to find the person that you really resonate with. But I kind of say it's just a chance to really surrender to your truth. And I've had quite a few people that have come to me because they feel like they need Reiki, even though they don't necessarily understand what it is or know why they need it. And then within a couple of sessions, these answers start to appear. But for me, the way I share Reiki is I really merge it with quite a deep meditation too. So it would be surrounded by guided meditation, or you know, and I'd be holding space for people to sit within their own meditation. And then Reiki is just a way of working with the energy in the body, and we all have energy in the body, however you resonate with that concept. And quite often that energy can become stuck or stagnant, and it can get trapped in places physically, emotionally, or spiritually, and it might be stuck because of something that's happened previously that we can remember, or maybe we don't have any memory of certain circumstances, you know, even from conception. Our energy is building, so it might have, our body now as adults might be holding on to something that happened to us in our mother's womb. But also I believe that the energy can also become stagnant for stuff that hasn't maybe even happened for us yet. So stuff that's in the future. So kind of, you know, our anxieties or stresses towards what life is going to look like tomorrow, the next day, or in years to come. And working with the energy with Reiki just allows and gives permission for this energy to start to flow and to move around. And it might slowly soften completely, or it might just start to move, and then you kind of work with it a bit more. I work with the chakras quite a bit when I work with Reiki and energy. I know that's not always the same for every practitioner, but I just sort of really resonate with them, and I think it's quite a nice way for maybe people to help them to understand maybe certain sensations that they feel or experience. And then I also say to the people I work with that it's to always come to their Reiki with no expectations. Yes, come with maybe an intention, but no expectations, because it can be so different each time you experience it, depending on what they're holding physically, emotionally at that given time. So, you know, if they're quite a visual person, they may see different colors or visualizations of memories or desires or things that are just completely new to them. They might see different textures, you know, almost like a kaleidoscope type feel. And then also physical sensations, so things like warmth or coolness throughout the body, maybe tingling, a heaviness or a lightness. I'm just trying to think of words people have used to describe sensations.
I love what you said about it being about coming with an intention and but without the expectation, because I think there's probably I think there is a little bit of a blurred line sometimes between those two things, and we often expect, you know, like we can have the intention that this experience is going to be really healing, or we can have the expectation that someone's going to heal us. And like they're two very different things, but I think often there can be a little bit of a kind of a little bit blurry.
And I think this word heal and the word healer are also quite confused. You know, we're known as Reiki healers, but I always say to the people I work with, I'm the one holding the space for you. I'm the one opening the energy and allowing it to all start to move, but you are the person that is, you're the healer. I'm just I'm holding that space for you to do your own healing.
And then
heal as well. I think I've written a couple of posts about it. I feel like we live in a society, particularly I think in the UK, where we almost feel like we only need to heal if there's something wrong or something quite dramatically wrong. Where I come from a place where healing is an ongoing process. It's a way to evolve and to grow and to shift and to explore. It doesn't mean that you have to have something to solve or to overcome. So I think, that word heal, I mean, there's so many different ways you could describe it, I guess, but I just would love for everyone to just not be put off by the word heal and think, oh, I don't have anything I need to heal. And therefore I can't experience Reiki, because for me, that's not what it's about. It's not about overcoming necessarily big blockages of that nature. It's sometimes the work is really small, but it's really deep. And then it just happens over a prolonged period of time. And then shifts can happen and we might not even realize. It's only when we look back and reflect that we're like, gosh, if I compare what my life is like now compared to like a year or 6 months ago or even a month ago, like it can look quite different without us realizing. So I think it's just trusting that word,
feel,
and not putting any big expectations or perceptions towards it.
Yeah. And it's about, I mean, the way I kind of think of it when I'm holding space for someone, it's like activating their inner healer rather than about kind of, you know, you don't come here to be fixed because you're not broken. And, you know, like it's not like a plaster that you put on and it's like, oh, everything's better now. It's like, it's actually activating the things that need to shift. And whether it's physically, whether it's emotionally, whether it's, you know, like in your life, it's kind of activating that awareness, I guess, to then make the shift or actively then choose how to then sort of go forward from that. So you're almost giving people hold the space for them to then decide, you know, how they're going to progress from there.
Yeah. And I have had a number of people that have come to me and not known why they've come to me. I think one of them used the lovely phrase that they were just drawn to like need some space with me, which I was just so honored. And flattered, you know, our ego just come into play, doesn't it? we're human. But I just felt so honoured is the word more, that they felt like they felt I could hold space for them when they didn't really know why they needed that space. And someone I've been working with for quite some time, and it, you know, it was quite a few sessions where it was just a beautiful exploration of like her as a woman and what that meant for her. And then over the last couple of weeks we've actually realized that the work that we were doing was preparing her for some quite big challenges that she's now facing. And I just feel so honored that she trusts me to be alongside her with that journey. And that's kind of just how I feel now with the work I do. I just, every day, I feel completely honoured that people trust me with their energy, with their space, with their emotions, their physical body, whatever practice it is that we're sharing together. I just have such a huge amount of gratitude for the people that I've worked with over the last few years. And I always think that I say that at the end of my practices, whenever I'm leading a group class, and also when I'm with individuals, I always invite them to take a moment to thank themselves for their practice. And then I follow that up with me saying, and thank you for joining me and trusting me with your practice. Because I think it's really important that as practitioners, as teachers, as we share these moments with people, that we honor them as much as possible and know that they're, and allow them to know that they're in a safe place where their truth is going to be held. And also I really just want to nurture people to take that opportunity to thank themselves, because everyone is so fast-paced now. Everyone is always thinking about the next thing. And then when they do give themselves this, you know, even if it's an hour in the week where they come to yoga practice, I just want them to take that extra little bit of time to acknowledge that and to thank themselves, because I just feel like people's practice will then drop that much deeper.
Yeah.
They're acknowledging that it's so much more than coming and doing a few stretches. And my students do know that I harp on about it quite a bit, that yoga is not just about going on the mat and putting your body into certain postures. Like, what do those postures mean? What do they feel like for you as an individual? What do they feel from the left side to the right side? Is that, you know, and honoring what that is for you as a person. So I really encourage people to take that moment and thank themselves, because I think we just don't do that enough.
I totally agree. And I kind of laughed when you said that, because at the end of every single class I teach, as I bring people out of Shavasana, I always say, take a moment now to thank yourself for showing up to the mat today. Take a moment to thank your body for taking you through your practice. And then when I say, when I'm sitting and I, you know, bring my hands to my heart, I always say, thank you for sharing this practice with me before I say namaste. And I just laugh because I was like, we're so aligned in so many ways.
I love that. And, you know, I'm quite open with my students because I think it's really important for them to realize that I'm human too, because I think there is this perception of people, well, yoga teachers, let's say, that we're kind of like superhuman. And and people either presume that we just don't have life challenges, or if we do, we're so zen that they don't phase us. And I'm always telling my class when appropriate, you know, like, this practice has been really good for me, or I need to be a bit gentle today. I just hope that by me showing that I'm human just like everybody else, and I have these ebbs and flows too of emotion and physical sensation that aren't always comfortable, that it will allow them to feel safer in their practices when I'm holding space for them.
Absolutely. I think it's really powerful to do that. I mean, and you know, like recently with my kind of stepping back from teaching, you know, I actually sort of said to people in, like, when I was telling them that I wasn't going to be continuing that class, I said, you know, like, I just need some time to myself. You know, I need, I'm working through some big changes in my life. And I need, you know, I need to give myself the space and I need to really practice what I preach. And I had quite a few people kind of say to me, you know, like, that's really, like, actually quite inspiring that you're doing that. Like, you know, thank you for sharing that, because I could have easily just sort of not said that, or I could have easily continued and not been 100% present. But I was like, I don't want to show up into this space when I know that I'm not fully here. So I think, I think showing that we are real and that we don't all have our shit together. We might be yoga teachers, but there's a reason we've come to this practice, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I being self-employed is really hard, right? It's harder than being employed. I've never worked so many hours ever. And I'm trying to set some boundaries around that, but, you know, as someone that gives and holds space for people, it's difficult because you want to be there for people all the time. But I did take some time off at the beginning of the year, I think, or it might have been late last year. And I just said to all my students that I'm just going to take a week out to concentrate on my own practices. I just need to be fully immersed in my own practices for at least a week, so I can come back to you stronger, come back to you and share even more and be more open, because, you know, you don't have to go into details what's going on, but I think people do kind of, I think they do really respect that and see that you're human too. Because I've seen couple of people that I follow on Instagram, and particularly Eleanor, who's taken photos for me recently. She did a really lovely post about exactly this. You know, people just need to stop thinking that yoga teachers are like superhuman and just know that we do have our own stuff going on too. And it can be pretty big challenges, but we have to find that balance of being real, but also not bringing that stuff into the space that we're holding for others. And I have had, I think twice, I've had it where people have either been like in a supine posture, so maybe a supine twist, or it's most likely probably when people are in Shavasana, and I was holding back my own tears. And that was partly because, you know, maybe a word in the song that was playing like really felt raw for me, and and I felt so open and safe in the space that everyone else was holding, because everyone's holding space for one another. But I just had sort of I gave myself that moment and then brought myself back in and was like, no, this is, I'm holding space for others. I can deal with this stuff on my drive home or when I get home, but for now this isn't about me. But I think it is important that I recognized that emotion that came to the surface, because it was true. Like, we need to allow these emotions to come to the surface because they are true. And I think we do live in a society where we're made to feel like we need to suppress our emotions because it shows weakness. And I've got this post actually on Instagram where it's just sat in my drafts, and I'm just like, oh, maybe one day I'll post it. I've got a few of them actually. But it's about, just because you're emotional or you're vulnerable or you're struggling doesn't mean you're weak, doesn't mean there is something wrong. But also, in balance to that, just because you don't show any emotion, or just because you sort of can be strong in front of people, doesn't mean you've conquered life. You know, you need to find a balance between having that vulnerability and the strength, and meeting somewhere in the middle. And I'm just, one of my main intentions for the work I do now and holding space for people, whether that be in a group or individuals one by one, is helping them find that balance of honoring their vulnerability, but also finding the courage and the bravery that they have, but without becoming hard and resilient and closed. So yeah, it's a huge thing to explore, and the body and the mind is so complicated, but I just feel like trust is a huge thing, and you know, you trust.
Yeah, what it's definitely been a journey for me, that kind of balance as well, because, you know, I think as a child I was, you know, quite sensitive and a lot more emotional, and then I very quickly hardened and saw that, you know, I needed to be the strong one, the independent one, and I really adopted that kind of that sort of badge, I suppose, that outer shell. And then the last few years it has been that unraveling of that protective layer, because it wasn't serving me anymore, because I was suppressing so many emotions. I thought that it was what I was supposed to do, but now the emotions, you know, like, I think there's a post on, I saw something on Instagram recently that was sort of like, allow your heart to break, like, daily, when you listen to a song, when you see a photo, when, you know, like, allow it to happen, because you know, there's so much beauty in that rawness. And now there is a fear, you know, like, there is a fear of that feeling, because there's nothing, you know, there is nothing more terrifying than that emotion coming up, like, especially when it's grief or sadness or something, you know, like that kind of sinking feeling that I sometimes get. There is nothing more scary than that happening and thinking, I'm never going to get out of this. But at the same time, each time you allow that feeling to come up, it gives you the confidence and the strength to know that you can get through it. But definitely, you have to feel in a very safe place to be able to let it come up in the first place. And I think that's where it's really beautiful that, you know, that you and, you know, other people are available to hold space for people to explore that within themselves.
And I think it's so tricky, like, allowing that vulnerability to open. And I've been facing some huge challenges in the last, so that's really peaked in the last sort of 12 to 18 months. And it's just finding where I feel safest to really show and feel that vulnerability. Can't even say the word. and then also when and where it might to not show the vulnerability. And it's such a tricky thing to navigate. And I always say to people, just find, and it may not be a direct loved one, but find someone that can hold that space for you. And actually, I think it's probably more beneficial if it's not a loved one, because you know, there's no expectations or judgments or anything, because they're not attached to you. They're not directly involved in whatever the situation is that you're going through, and it's about really honoring your truth and And I've been sort of working with these concepts recently about honoring, like, the woman I was before today, the woman I am as I sit here now, and then the woman I'm becoming. And, you know, they all look so different, and tomorrow they'll all look so different again.
Yeah.
But just each time honoring, surrendering, but honoring and allowing it to be, because it is what it is. And I think that's when my own practices have really started to deepen, and I've really started to trust them and explore them more. And, you know, I would never have thought I would be doing what I'm doing now 4 or 5 years ago, ever. You know, I think it was always within me, as cliche as that sounds, but I think it's just happened over time. I've just started to really connect to my intuition and trust it. And as such, things have just evolved. And to be honest, I don't overly have plans of what's going to happen, like whether it be towards my own practices. I don't have plans towards next trainings I'm going to do or what I'm going to necessarily share. Like, I don't have a big business plan or anything like that, because I'm so drawn and it feels so right for me to work intuitively. So I might wake up one morning and be like, I really need to share this mantra with my class, or I really need to put on this workshop or this event, or I really need to go and do this training. And I just allow it to happen really fluidly, rather than having this big grand plan, because I guess if I'm honest, I'd be really scared that if I put this big plan in place, if it didn't work out, how would that feel? But I feel so much safer and more trusting in my intuition that it's all happening in the right time, in the right order, and for the right reasons. But it takes a long time to get there, to have that trust.
What does intuition feel and mean to you? Like, what do you work with your intuition in terms of how sort of you've strengthened it? Because I think of it as kind of like a muscle that we have to practice with, and, you know, and develop it over time, and it is all about trust. But I just wondered how it shows up for you.
Yeah, so I mean, I always kind of think it's like a gut feeling, which when I say that is a bit comical because of having Crohn's, and I've had parts of my gut removed, so I have less of that gut feeling, but it is so strong. Maybe I'm more sensitive to it because I'm, you know, so connected to my Crohn's and things like that. But it is just a feeling of something being right. And for me, when that feeling is there, and it's quite often like a really deep physical sensation, that I can't ignore it. Or if there's a deep thought or an emotion that just can't be ignored, like if I try to move it out the way, it will just reappear. Maybe a different voice or in a slightly different place, but it will still reappear. And it has definitely taken me time to acknowledge that and accept that's what's going on. And it's not just knowing what to move forward to, what to invite in, or to what to manifest, but it's also listening to your intuition, to know when to let go of things and to release things that aren't serving you. Because you know, there's a lot of work around that too. It's not just about manifesting our deepest desires and those concepts, but it's also really connecting to what's not serving you and knowing it's okay to let go of those things if they're not right for you. And I think that's where my intuition has really come into play, probably more so actually in the last sort of months or so, of knowing it's okay to let go of ideas, or knowing it's okay to let go of friendships in particular has been a big one for me, and not judging that. And then I think it's being able to remove that judgment and feel safe in the removal of the judgment is when you know that it was the right thing, because you're not questioning it. It just happens really naturally.
Yeah, and I think the letting go is harder than the manifesting, yeah. Right? So yeah. I think I'm in a period of time where I am letting go of a lot of things, and I don't know what I'm manifesting. I don't know what's coming next. And so I'm in this space of kind of what I keep describing as sort of limbo land, because I know my intuition is just saying, let go of this, let go of this, let go of this. Mm-hmm. But it's not giving me the answers of what's coming next. And that is really scary, because a few years ago, I would never have been able to let things go without knowing what was coming next. But now I'm just trusting that, you know, whatever, that I need to create space. And that might be space for a month. It might be space for 6 months. I don't know. But in order for me to kind of take the next step, I've had to almost strip back to the basics again, to like come back to the foundations and come back to the truth, come back to my truth.
Yeah. And I think when there's this notion, isn't there, that when we let go or release of something, whether it be a relationship or some kind, or I don't know, I guess a material object, or, you know,
yoga teaching.
or an experience, or a life, anything to do with like your lifestyle, we have this feeling that when we let go of something, it's creating space, but then we almost feel pressure to then fill that space with something else. Where I kind of feel like, actually, sometimes you just need to let go of something, create that space, and maybe that space will just be filled by everything you already have. So you don't need to manifest anything new. You're just going to grow more with what you really want to continue to hold on to.
Yeah, that's a really nice way of looking at it, actually. It's like, it's less about adding more in. It's more about kind of like cultivating and strengthening what you've got.
Yeah, because I think there's so much pressure for everybody, no matter what walk of life you're in, is to almost be really full and have lots of things. And I think you've done a post about this, about not knowing how to define what you do for work.
Well,
you do so many things, but how can you label it? Mm. And I think there's that. And then there's also, but it's also okay if maybe you're just really content in being really minimal.
Yeah.
And you don't need to like fill your life with lots and lots of different things if you're content with just holding a few things. And that might be friendships, it might be material objects, it might be having lots of different careers or doing lots of different things socially, like having lots of different hobbies, because that it doesn't give you any more value the more you have.
That's a really good point, because I think there's this almost this misconception or this sort of glorification of being busy and having all these things and being really interesting and fascinating. And actually, so many of us, like me included, are actually craving simplicity. But it's just, I mean, I am a doer, like I enjoy doing things, but I also, there is this sort of sense of just wanting to just have a simpler life, and not be constantly kind of striving for, I mean, I have ambition and I have dreams and visions and ideas, but I don't want to be pushing and forcing and striving all the time, because it's exhausting. And I think there's so much pressure on us, you know, on women, on men, on like the whole of society, to be constantly seeking more, like, and it's like this constant message of, you are not enough. Mm-hmm. You are not doing enough. And I've actually been working with a mantra, an affirmation, for the last 6 months or so. I have it recorded on my phone constantly, and it's, you are doing enough. And it goes off, I have an alarm on my phone, it goes off every single day, and it just reminds me to say, you know, I might be running around like a headless chicken thinking I need to do all this stuff, and then it's like, oh no, actually, you know what, I could just do this one thing and that's enough. And it's
love that. Because it's so, and it can be quite profound, can't it, when you really kind of settle into the idea that we're enough as we are. And I, particularly when I work, I think it's everything I do, but, you know, obviously in certain circumstances, I'm more vocal when I'm sharing. But I just really want people to value themselves as they are, and really, and I use the word honor a lot when I'm teaching or holding space, because I just think people don't do it. People don't have enough self-worth. People need to love themselves more. Even if you're going through challenges where you maybe really dislike yourself for whatever reason, come back to that self-love, because it will just bring a sense of peace to whatever challenge you're going through. And just really, valuing you as you are, like value your physical body, be thankful and grateful for your physical body. Be thankful and grateful for your mind, like however you choose to use it wisely, use it kindly, and just be really grateful. Mm-hmm. I've always, so like coming back to my Crohn's, I've always, and I think I posted about it the other day, I've always been thankful that it was me that was the one to have Crohn's over like my brother or my sister. I would 100%, if we had to do this all again, demand that I was the one to be given the Crohn's over my brother or sister, because I've never been angry at having it. I've never resented it. I've always found gratitude for it, because I just don't think I would be sat here doing the work I'm doing now if I didn't have it, because I wouldn't have found my meditation practice. I wouldn't have found the beauty of moving your body as a form of expression and release of emotional stresses. I wouldn't have moved schools when I did and met friends that I have. I wouldn't have had all the experiences I've had if I didn't have Crohn's. But it would be so easy for me to sit here and say, why me? Give it to somebody else. And I've always, like from childhood, I've always just felt I'm thankful it's me that's got it over one of my loved ones or anyone that I don't love. If it means me having it means one less person in the world has it, then I would take that every single day.
That's amazing. I mean, that's such a beautiful sentiment. I think it's really hard. I feel the same about my anxiety and about the things and also about, you know, losing my menstruation and all the things that have happened to me. I feel really grateful for, because they have led me to where I am. But I do appreciate that when you're in the thick of something and it's something that's, you know, it's a new challenge or it's something that is having such an impact on your life. Like it can be really hard to find gratitude.
Yeah. Oh, massively. And I, not in memory have I had those moments, but I'm pretty sure I've had them. I've had two quite major operations for my Crohn's, and I'm pretty sure I've been laid in a hospital bed thinking, why me? But it's not held onto me. I've had it for that moment, but it's not something I'm living with. And that's when I think, again, it's like this honouring, coming back is honoring who you are and kind of just, I guess, simply living the best life you can with what we've been given, you know. And I have anxiety too, like particularly around social situations, which I don't think I've ever said openly, so that's quite a big thing. But I get really quite nervous about big social situations, and I have to do a lot of work, and I have most definitely avoided social situations and made my excuses. And even, you know, just recently I avoided one because I just couldn't, the anxiety was too much. But do you know what? That's okay. If that's what I need to do, if that's how I serve my life, then that is okay. But yeah, I mean, as positive as we can be and as much as we settle into our practices of yoga, meditation, Reiki, whatever practices you have, we do still have these moments of being vulnerable human beings, and that is okay. It's okay to sit in your pajamas for 2 days and cry. It's okay to really struggle with life. But I think what I always try to share with people is take that moment, honor it, honor whatever that uncomfortable sensation is, but then come back to your practices and find that trust again, trust in the teachings, and trust the support of your intuition, trust the support of people that you're allowing to hold space for you. But it's a tricky balance, you know. It's really tricky.
It is a tricky balance. And I was thinking about this the other day. It's like, if I could kind of go back and have all these practices that I have now when I was, you know, a teenager or 18 or 19 or something, like, would I change what I've, you know, the way I've been through things? And actually, I wouldn't, because I feel like, I don't know if you resonate with this, but I kind of almost feel like going through and navigating these challenging situations is part of growing up and is part of our evolution. And actually, if we were to skip those bits, then where would that leave us? We wouldn't probably be as empathetic. We probably wouldn't grow. We wouldn't face the things we face. And I, you know, it's really, I see sort of younger people really struggling, and I really, really want to help them. But I feel like, and in my own journey, like, I could have had somebody telling me all the things that I know now, and it wouldn't have made a difference, because until I learned them for myself through experience, I wasn't gonna actually make a difference.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's so normal, and it would be so easy for us to look back at things that have been challenging and think, oh, if only that hadn't happened. But actually, if that hadn't happened, we wouldn't be where we are now. Like I was saying with my Crohn's, you know, it forced me to change schools just for my GCSEs, and I can see so many positives in that, but that and where I ended up, and then all the knock-on effects of that one change has led me to where I am now. I honestly feared if I had stayed in the same school, and it's nothing against the school, it just wasn't right for me and my health, I wouldn't be where I am now. So it's kind of, it's trusting that everything, it sounds so cliche, doesn't it, but trusting that everything does happen to us for a reason. And the beautiful lady I was working with this morning, we were sort of talking about just listening to the messages. Like, if something happens that feels uncomfortable, try and discover what the message is that's being shown to you, or the learning, or any of the signs that are being shown to you when something is uncomfortable. There is a teaching within it, as horrible and as unsettling and as sad as things can be. There is a teaching somewhere. And I think as soon as you can start to discover those teachings, it changes perceptions of life circumstances. And that's, I think, you know, when you do start to work with your intuition a lot, because you have so much trust in what happens to you and around you.
Yeah, I really agree. And I think there are always going to be moments where you're like, why is this happening to me? Like, why am I going through this? And what is, you know, there are sometimes things that happen, you're like, what could the lesson possibly be here?
I mean, and you might not know for years.
Exactly. Right? But I think sometimes even, and I appreciate when you're going through like the absolute darkest times in your life, if someone says to you, oh, there's a gift in this, or there's, you know, there's a lesson in this, you might well want to
go.
Yeah, exactly. Tell them to go. But I think it if nothing else, if you learn something about yourself in the process, whether it's learning to be more, you know, to it's learning for your heart to crack open and feel a little bit more, or it's learning more empathy towards people who are experiencing like grief or sadness or anger or something, or if it's just learning that you can get through something, like those are the gifts that can be seen in even the shittest of circumstances. Just knowing, you know, just being able to breathe and move through a day and see your strength and your resilience in a really awful situation is a lesson in itself. It's not necessarily, I'm not saying that it's what we choose in any shape or form. But there is something in it. Absolutely agree.
Oh, you know, life just throws stuff at people, doesn't it? And it throws stuff at all of us that are traumatic to varying degrees, and really, really bloody tough, like physically, emotionally, spiritually, or all of the above. And it's, and I've definitely had some moments this year where I've lost trust in my practices, and I've questioned them, and I've thought, is this really, really sort of where I want to be going? Is, you know, you're like, almost if I was talking to the practices, you're not giving me what I need. You're not like, you're not transforming certain life circumstances to where I want them to be. And it's like, and it's taken, and it took me a while to gain that trust back. I definitely had a few weeks, like just a few months ago, where I was kind of questioning a lot. But I sat with that and I thought, you know what, if it means I need to take a couple of weeks out where I'm not practicing myself, and I dedicate myself to sharing with others and holding space for others, I will come to my back to my own practices when it's ready, when it all slots back into place. And I think, you know, going back to this perception of yoga teachers or Reiki healers that we have all of our stuff together, it's just knowing that we're all human too, and we just need to sit within our truths, honor our truths, whatever that may look like, and just come back inwardly towards our intuition and our practices and our teachings, and keep moving forward as best we can.
And the challenges and obstacles, I think, are what bring you back to that truth, in all honesty. Yeah. Like, I think I've sort of thought about this recently, and I just thought, you know, like I've had so much anxiety in my life about shit things happening in my life. Like, I've worried about things that could happen, might happen. And then things, and I sort of had this, I think I almost felt like if I worried enough, I would manage to somehow sidestep feeling those feelings, or I'd manage to be able to control my way out of never having to experience a sad moment or grief or a difficult, challenging obstacle. And I had almost, like, that is a lot of, I realize now that so much of my anxiety stemmed from that.
Yeah.
And then when shit hits the fan, which it has done a bit this year, I suddenly don't have so much to fear. So the anxiety is actually different, and it's like, I've realized that none of us come out of, you know, life without experiencing these things. And if we try and block it, it leads to this feeling of numbness. It leads to not living. And I just decided, like, I want to live an awakened life. I want to feel, I want to be alive. And that means if I want to feel joy and excitement and love and all of these things, and I have to take that with the other less desired feelings, like anger and sadness and you know, and frustration and overwhelm. And I think just accepting that we are all humans, and we are all, you know, these things are gonna we're gonna feel these feelings. We kind of can't escape them.
No. And I think, you know, everyone's challenges are so different. And I love the idea that, you know, even if you're reading the same story as someone, your narrative is different. So you could have two people side by side experiencing what looks like the same circumstance, but their narrative and experience of that story is going to be so, so different. And I think that's when you come back to really connecting inwardly to who you are and your truths, and not having any comparison towards how anyone else is navigating that same story, because it's so different. Like, because we're all wired so differently, our energies are so different. You know, it all depends what we've experienced before on how we then sit within these new challenges. So you can't have comparison against how someone else is navigating what outwardly looks like the same challenges as you. So it's I always say to people, you've just got to find the teachings, the practices, the people, the practitioners that resonate with you in where you are at the moment, and know that it's okay if, as your life shifts, as your life changes, as new challenges arise, or you overcome a challenge, however big or small these challenges are, of course, that it's okay if the teachings, the practices, the practitioners that you surround yourself with will change. I was with one particular yoga teacher, and she was incredible for over 2 years, and then my life circumstances changed and I needed something different for my classes. And so it was nothing against her as a teacher or her as a person. I was just listening to my own self and my truth, and know I needed something else when I was spending that moment each week being guided by somebody else. So knowing it's okay to go through these challenges in your own way, there's no right or wrong way if it's your way, and know that it's okay to, like almost play around with the different holistic approaches or non or medical approaches, or like different teachings in yoga or different practitioners, to make sure that it's right for you in that moment.
Yeah.
Rather than forcing something to continue if it's not right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it reminds me of sort of where you started in this conversation of this, and this quote kept coming up to me, sort of to my mind throughout. You were saying, you know, you started with dance and then you moved into, you started with the movement, the more intuitive kind of creative expression of you. And then you moved into the sort of part that you thought you should be in. And then you've come back, and it's this quote that someone said, I can't remember the exact wording, but it was something along the lines of, you know, it remembering who you were before the world told you who you're supposed to be.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Do you know what? I think that kind of sums up my life.
Like, yeah, I think me too.
Because I definitely, people have said to me, like, that have known me like for a longer time, or if people know about me, that they've all kind of said, we've done a bit of a full circle. You've kind of gone back to being creative. You've gone back to being expressive with your body. You've gone back to supporting other people and being a giver. And yes, it's different to what I was doing. You know, I'm not in the dance world anymore. But I've come back to all of those intentions, and it just feels so right. Like I don't wake up in the morning and question what I'm going to be doing. Like I did when I was in marketing, you know, it just feels right. I just feel so content. But don't get me wrong, like, there are huge worries that come with being self-employed. You know, even down to, oh my gosh, are people going to turn up for my classes, or is that workshop going to book, and, you know, or, you know, the financial things, or, like, I don't know, just the normal worries you have, basically. It still comes when you're self-employed. I definitely, when I first became self-employed, I feel like a lot of my friends thought I was just teaching classes, so I would just turn up, teach, and then go home, and then I've just got this free, fabulous life.
Oh my gosh, the illusion.
only you knew what has to go on behind the scenes, like, to be able to deliver that 1 hour class. Because I'm always open with the people I work with that, you know, I'm not just teaching that class, but I have to go through a process before I deliver that class or share that class or practice, and then I also go through a process afterwards, you know, so making sure I'm not bringing my energy into that space, but then afterwards making sure I don't take the energy of that practice back into my home. So staying really balanced. I work, so it won't be a surprise if any of them listen to this, but I work so intuitively that quite often when I teach yoga, and I think it's a huge, and this is definitely where my dance training and specializing in choreography comes into play. When I teach my yoga classes, I will have an intention, but I won't have planned a sequence.
Yeah, that's exactly how I teach.
I work so intuitively. Mm. Yeah, I feed off the energy of what people are bringing. I look at how people's bodies are moving when they sit on their mat or walk into the room, and that's what guides my teaching. So I always say to people, I'm guiding the practice, but the practice is yours. Mm-hmm. Like, you're leading me to lead you almost. And it was only this week, actually, I started to introduce just a, like, very short time at the end of the practice. And it's only in one class I'm doing it so far that have been with me for a couple of years, where they take like 20 breaths, where they just move how they need to move, so they can really start to nurture their own personal practice. And I have to say, it was beautiful to watch, because everyone was just so connected to what they needed. You know, there's people in stillness, there's people moving quite quickly, there's people that were just so slow, but they were all just listening to their own rhythms and their own energy. And I have to say, it's probably one of my moments within teaching where I've just felt, gosh, this is, I love what I do, and I'm so grateful.
That sounds amazing, and yeah, I definitely resonate with that, and I wish you were a bit closer so I could come to your class.
Me, you too.
I think we could do really good swapsies.
I know, we'll make it work one day.
We will definitely. Wow, it's like, I love where this conversation has gone.
It's not where we thought.
Well, that's the beauty of it, isn't it?
So
I'm just gonna ask one more question. I know there are so many other things that, you know, I was going to ask and we were going to talk about, but, you know, that we can save that for another day. But the question that I ask all of my, the people I have on the podcast is, what is your current messy truth that you are unraveling?
Oh my God.
I know we've gone through a few of these in this conversation, but if there was one thing that is like the messy truth of what's going on, like that you're unraveling at the moment, what would it be?
Without sort of saying, like, getting too personal, I think it would just be embracing my vulnerability and knowing that my sensitivity that I have is okay, and just trying to navigate what that looks like, trying to navigate what my practices look like around supporting that vulnerability, and being patient with the vulnerability. Yeah, I think that's it. It's like, I'm just, I am in a vulnerable place, personally. And, but I, at the same time, I think I'm probably in the strongest place I've ever been. And yeah, I think it's that. It's just knowing it's okay to be sensitive, emotional, knowing it's okay to feel really vulnerable and raw, really open and exposed. And learning and trusting that there's strength and courage sat within all of those. So I think that's probably where I am at the moment.
I love that. And I really love that you said, you know, that you were in, you know, possibly the most vulnerable place you've been in, but you're equally in the strongest place. And that just says, doesn't that just say how powerful vulnerability is, and actually how, I think, because the more vulnerable you are, the more connected to your truth you are, and the more true you are, the more you feel, you know, the power of yourself. And that might, you know, that might not necessarily mean that you have all your shit together in so many ways, but the strength in just being you, like that's what we all, you know, that's why I do this work. That's why you probably do this work. It's it's helping people come back to that. And what a gift, hey?
And I just feel so honored that people trust me to hold their vulnerability and to hold their own stuff. I will forever be almost just amazed that I am someone that people come to for those experiences. Like, I will never be ungrateful or take it for granted, and I will always strive to be able to share and give more to people, but whilst making sure I always give to myself truly and deeply, because if I wasn't doing these practices myself, I don't think I'd be authentically sharing them with others.
That's so beautiful. Oh, such an amazing conversation. I literally feel like we could do this all day. Is there anything that you've got coming up that you want to share, or where can people find out a little bit more about the work you do, what you're up to?
Yeah, so I'm quite active on Instagram, so I'm the Wellbeing Feeling on Facebook and things like that, but I'm far more active on Instagram. I'm just sort of navigating how I want to be on Instagram. I think that's a whole nother conversation though.
I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, and I am based sort of Hampshire, Berkshire, but I am, you know, the beauty of Reiki in particular is you can do it distance. So, you know, if anyone feels called to reach out to me and explore what that might look like, I am here to work with anybody, because Reiki can be done over a distance. So that's beautiful. And then I guess almost a bit of an exclusive.
Tell me more.
Is I'm doing my first weekend retreat next. I think you might know about it actually. In April. So the 12th to the 14th of April, I'll be holding space in Glastonbury in the most beautiful house.
I'm coming.
I'm just going to keep it so intuitive, and it's going to be a really blended experience of yoga, meditation, Reiki and sound healing. I'll just be working really intuitively with the group and with each individual. So I'll be sharing more information about that on Sunday / Monday. I don't know when you're going to be putting this podcast out, but
this will be, yeah, I think we'll be going out in a few days' time. It'll be perfect timing.
Yeah. And I'm really, really excited. It's something I've been really drawn to, but I've just, as my students will know that come to me regularly, I've taken about a year to find the right place. I've been looking for a venue for about a year. And this place just feels incredibly right and fitting. If anyone wants to come along.
I am very, very interested in coming along. I've always wanted to go to Glastonbury and I haven't been before.
Yeah, it's quite far for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I feel like it's definitely somewhere I'll be visiting soon. If not on your retreat, definitely, hopefully before then actually as well. That is so exciting, and I cannot wait to hear more about that. Thank you for your time and your honesty, and I really honor everything you shared. I really am so grateful for just the rawness of the conversation. It's been so beautiful to unravel together.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. And if anybody does want to continue the conversation, then I will invite them to join the Unraveling Deeper Facebook group. And I will invite you too, Laura, to join us, so that if anyone has any questions in there that they want to ask or get in touch with you directly, then it's a nice place to be. It's a really lovely safe space for people to continue the unraveling journey. So thank you once again. I hope you have a lovely rest of your day, Laura. And we will be on the podcast soon again together, no doubt.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thank you, Lauren.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Unraveling. If you have enjoyed this conversation and want to listen more, then please subscribe to the show and share it with any friends who might enjoy the journey too. To continue the adventures and connect with other people who are also enjoying the show, don't forget to join the Unraveling Deeper community on Facebook. Here you can delve deeper into some of the topics discussed on the show and also get the chance to ask questions for future episodes. I will also be sharing additional resources that are supporting me in my own unraveling. Just head to facebook.com/groups/unraveling deeper. You can also get in touch with me via my Instagram at laurenbarber.co or through my website www.laurenbarber.co. Until next time, keep trusting the beautifully chaotic process of unraveling.